holding on the top of Memhei Amud Aleph. Still in the middle of discussing matters of Hefker. We got into that by way of the Mishnah, saying that you have a case where Reuven is also to have anah from Shimon. So Shimon puts food down on a walk or a fence, declares it Hefker, so Reuven can take it. Can he do that? The Chachamim said yes, Rabbi Yossi said no, and we were discussing why that is. We've been going through the last couple of days of a lot of discussion then on the ins and outs of Hefker. One thing that we should keep in mind is we said at the beginning of the sugya, we had Rabbi Yochanan understanding Rabbi Yossi to be saying that Hefker works, that Rabbi Yossi's understanding of how Hefker works is different than how the Chachamim understand it to work. According to the Chachamim, something that's Hefker goes through a stage where it doesn't belong to anybody. According to Rabbi Yossi, it does not. It always belongs to the first person until the second person picks it up. Then, though, we slugged that up and we said that Rava gave a different reason why Rabbi Yossi would say that it's not Hefker in our case, because it's like Matnas based Choren. It seems that it's more transparent attempt to avoid the Neder rather than a sincere Hefker. So now we went further through the Gemara. Eventually we got to a case on Memdalet Amud Beis that we learned yesterday, where a person declares his vineyard Hefker, and then the next morning he goes and starts harvesting it. So we said he is Potter from Meiser, but he's Chayiv in all the other Matnas Aniyim. So fine, he's Chayiv in the other Matnas Aniyim, because whether the field was Hefker or not doesn't make a difference as far as that. But why is he Chayiv? Why is he Potter from Meiser? According to the, So earlier we had in the Gemara two and Memdalet Amud Aleph, we had two explanations of Rabbi Yossi's and Rish Lakish's shittas. We had a braisa over there about a person declares something Hefker and mentioning we have a 3-day waiting period till Hefker takes effect. But on the other hand, we said if he's mafku it for a period of time, then as soon as somebody else picks it up, then they're koine it. So we said that Ula would distinguish between whether it's Hefker Daraisa or Drabanon. And then we have Rish Lakish's explanation, who made that whole Braisa go like Rabbi Yossi. And said that according to him, we would say that the reason why we have the 3-day waiting period is shalot the shtakach toras Hefker, so we don't forget about what Hefker is all about. So now we ended up saying, according to Rish Lakish, that braisa of hamafker es kamoi could only be according to the Rabbanan, because according to Rabbi Yossi, why would it be? It's within the 3 days. The Hefker shouldn't have taken effect yet. He should still be chayev and meiser. If the braisa is telling us that he's potter, then that must be only according to the Chachamim. So now the Gemara is going to find a way to make that last braisa of Hamafker es Kamoi work even according to Rabbi Yossi. So the Ran says that actually that the next few lines of the Gemara are going to be referring back to that braisa. So that braisa that says that he's Potter from Meiser in that case, and that would be even though it's the next morning, he was Mafker one day and is already harvesting it the next morning, we're going to find a way to make it work even according to Rabbi Yossi. On the other hand, the Mefarish, printed over here under Rashi's name, says that in fact we're referring back to Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. To begin with, in the original case of our Mishnah, when Shimon declares the food Hefker and Reuven ends up taking it, we can say that even then Rabbi Yossi is not going to say across the board that it never works. It's going to depend how the statement of Hefker was done. So Iboy Seima, or you can say, it depends whether he was mafkeret in the presence of two people or fewer, or whether he was mafkeret in the presence of three people. So the Ran explains that, again, following his understanding that we're talking about referring back to the braisa of hamafkeres karmoi. So when is Rabbi Yossi going to say when is Rabbi Yossi going to say that it still, that still remains in the reshus of the original owner until somebody else takes it, would only be when you mafkir it in the presence of two people or fewer. So in our Mishnah, you would have a similar thing. In our Mishnah, when Shimon declared it hefker, then that there was only him and Reuven over there. We said, after all, if there was a third party, then he would have given it to that third party, and that person would have given it to Reuven, and there wouldn't be this issue of hefker in the first place. So then Rabbi Yossi is going to say, when you didn't have three people over there, then Rabbi Yossi is going to say, that's not really considered like hefker. Then we're going to consider, as Rabbi Yochanan said at the beginning of the sugya, that hefker is considered like a matana, and therefore that it remains in the reshus of the original owner until somebody else takes it. But if you had three people or more that it was done in the presence of, then Rabbi Yossi would say the hefker takes effect right away. Therefore, the braisa of hamafker es karmoi could go according to Rabbi Yossi as well. And similarly, the Mefarish says in our Mishnah, if in fact the case had been where Shimon had declared the food hefker in the presence of three people, then Rabbi Yossi would be fine with it and Reuven could take it. Only in our Mishnah did we have, the fact is, there was nobody else there. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi is going to say that's not full-fledged hefker. Now, why should there be a distinction whether there are three people there or not? So the Ran points out, if you only have two people over there, then it means he was probably mafkir it, having in mind that one of those people specifically is going to get it. In general, you need a certain number of people to be there in order for there to be a coil, in order for it to be well known that such and such happened. So if he only does it in the presence of two people, there's no coil. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi is going to say, in effect, all you're doing is you're winding up giving it to one or the other of those people. Therefore, I'm going to consider it like a matana, and I'm going to consider it like a matana, even to the extent that we're going to say that it remains in the original owner's ownership until one of these people takes it. So you need three people. Once you have three people over there, he's not necessarily having in mind that any one of those people is going to take it, because now at that point you have a coil and anybody can take it. So that's why Rabbi Yossi would say, the Braisa of a mafkir es karmoi would actually be talking about where he was mafkir in the presence of three people. And now even Rabbi Yossi is not going to say that that's anything like a matana. So therefore, now you can really say Rabbi Yossi would agree in that sense with the Chachamim that hefker goes through that period of limbo when it's not in anybody's reshus. And therefore, when he himself is zoichen it again, then even though it's the next morning, then already it's potter from Meiser. So in other words, we would say that even within Rabbi Yossi's opinion, we would be making a distinction, which we haven't made until now, which is how many people did he make the hefker in front of? So now again, that means the braisa of hamafker es karmoi can be according to Rabbi Yossi as well. We don't have to say that according to Rish Lakish, it would be only according to the Chachamim. We can say that it works according to Rabbi Yossi as well. So why do we need three? Why dafka three? I mean, the Ran is saying and the Rosh is saying that you need three in order to be mefarsim it. But still, we often find that two people was enough to be mefarsim something. So why dafka here? Do you need three? So to Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Meshum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehotzadeh, Kol Amafkir B'fnei Shloisha have a hefker. If you declare something hefker in front of three, then it's considered hefker. B'fnei Shnayim Loi have a hefker. But if you did it in the presence of two people, it's not hefker. So that's the thing. He's saying because three people makes a coil. The Rambam actually gives a reason. This way two of them can be Edim and the third one can be the Zoicha. Um, So according to the Rambam, it's not just a matter of the three has a curl and two doesn't, like the Ran says, because in that case, then conceivably you could say that even two would be enough to make a curl. No, we're saying that, so according to the Ran, the verdict is, if you only have two people over there, necessarily, since it doesn't have a curl, you must have meant that that one or the other of them is going to get it. So would be considered, according to Rabbi Yossi, more like a matana rather than true hefter. If we waited three days and nobody picked it up, then fine, at that point we can say it's full hefter. But once you have three people and there's a coil, then we would say even according to Rabbi Yossi, it's hefker right away, and hefker the same way as we usually understand hefker, where it actually goes through a period of not being owned by anybody. And again, according to the Rambam, the vort is that once you have three, two of them can be Edim, one of them can actually be the Zoicha, and therefore that makes it more official. Once we have that, we can say that explains what we've been saying so far. That would explain Rabbi Yossi's Shitta. You do have
the question when he says loy have a hefter. Does it mean
that it's not hefter? So we discussed previously that the Ran and the Rosh argue in the case of the 3 days. So you made something hefter before. When we talked about the 3 days, we didn't talk about how many people you did it in front of. You made something hefter, and then somebody else picked it up during the 3 days. Is he able to be zoicha? And according to the Ran, no. According to the Rosh, yes. So now that comes up over here also. The Rosh points out that we can say it's not hefker in the sense that he can still change his mind. But still, if somebody else were to take it during that time, then it sounds like maybe he would be zoicha in it. Although then the Rosh says then the Loshen loy have a hefker implies that it's not hefker at all. On the other hand, though, the fact is, earlier in the sugya, we started the sugya with Rabbi Yochanan explaining Rabbi Yossi's shitta, and him mentioning this point about that according to Rabbi Yossi, a hefker is like a matana, and he didn't say anything of what he's saying now about the difference of how many people you did it in front of. So the Rosh says one possibility is that before we were talking according to Rabbi Yochanan's own shita, here we're talking about what Rabbi Yochanan is quoting from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua ben Yehotzadeh, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadeh. So it could be that Rabbi Yochanan himself would hold that there's taka no difference how many people you mafkir it in front of. He just holds that Rabbi Yossi is always going to say that hefker is like a matana. It never goes through that intermediate stage. Therefore, that would drive everything that we've been saying in the sugya so far. In the case that in the braisa of the 3 days versus the temporary hefker, we would have to say either like ula or the shlokish, and make it work out that way, either that the whole braisa is according to the chachamim and not representing Rabbi Yossi's opinion at all, or that the whole thing represents Rabbi Yossi's opinion and saying that we don't want to forget Torah's hefker. And again, as far as the last braisa of Hamafkaris Karamoi, we would then have to say either according to Ula, it would work according to everybody, and according to the Shlokish, only according to Rabbi Yossi. And now we have something else. Now we have what Rabbi Yochanan is quoting in the name of his Rebbe, where his Rebbe disagrees and says that it's not always, does Rabbi Yossi say, that a hefker is like a matana. It's going to depend on whether, and it's going to depend on how many people you did it in the presence of. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no, you don't necessarily need three people. I agree in the end that Darabonon you do, but Rabbi Yochanan is implying that even Daraisa, it wouldn't be Hefker unless you did it in the presence of three people. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying, no, Dvar Torah, Minat Torah, afilu be'echad have a Hefker. Minat Torah, even if you did it with one person, and one person doesn't even have to mean where there's one other person standing over there. Tosfos discusses that it may even mean Bein Lebein Atzma. He's all by himself and declares it Hefker. So Midaraisa, that would be
that would be valid hefker. Or matam omer b'shloisha. Okay, see, here's the so the reason that I was saying before from the Rambam is actually right here in the Gemara that matam omer b'shloisha k'deshi echad zeicho shnayim edim, so that you have one is zeicha and two are giving the edus. So in other words, so according to Rabbi Yechanan, the requirement for three is actually daraisa. According to Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it's only derabbanan. In order, so again, the Ran was saying before that according to Rabbi Yechanan, the reason why you need three is in order to make a coil. So now we're saying it's not so much in order to make a coil; it's just in order to make it more official that this way you can have two. That this way you can have two aid. Within that machloikas, the Ran says the halacha would actually be like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that only dirabbanon do you need three people. So now a nafkamina that comes up of this is Tosfos mentions it briefly over here. They mention it in more detail in other places. There are cases where you want to be able to be mafkir something, and do you necessarily need three for it in order to be mafkir on a daraisa level? So one thing we talked about yesterday, for example, about being mafkir chametz, where in general, midrabanon, you can't be mafkir your chametz anyway. You have to do bidikas chametz, you have to do beer chametz. But there are cases where you're able to be mafkir your chametz. So then, do you need three people for it? So on a derabanan level, yes. But on a daraisa level, if we say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Levi, then no, you can be mafkir it by yourself. Another one that Tosfos mentions is you have a case in Masechta Shabbos, you have a machloikas bis Shammai bis Hillel. You can't do malacha on Shabbos yourself, of course. What about, are you allowed to set up a keli that will be doing malacha for you on Shabbos? Say, for example, to start a process, I mean, ma'isim b'chol yom, you know, we put on lights, for example, before Shabbos, and they stay on the whole Shabbos and other such things. But or we light candles before Shabbos, and they continue burning into Shabbos. Beis Shammai in Masechta Shabbos actually says you can't do that. They say that you have something called shvisas kelim, the same way as you and your animals can't be doing work on Shabbos. They say your kelim can't be either. So the Gemara says, according to Beis Shammai, what do you do as far as lighting Shabbos candles? What do you do as far as cooking, as far as leaving a pot of food warming up on the stove for Shabbos? So the Gemara says over there, Beis Shammai would say, you would actually have to be mafkir then. Well, now the question is, and once they're hefker, then they're not yours. So therefore you could do this. So now you get into the question, based on our Gemara over here, are you going to need to be mafkir in the presence of three people? So if we say the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan and daraisa, hefker won't work according to Rabbi Yossi anyway, unless it's in front of three people, then we would say that, yeah, you would have to do that. But since we say the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that the whole concept that you need three people is only derabbanan, then in a case like that, in the case of Hilchos Shabbos, then actually we have reason to be maple. Tosfos actually says over here that maybe Tosfos actually over here draws a distinction. There can be a distinction between being mafkir land, where you're doing it in order to try to evade the dinim of maisris, versus being mafkir other kinds of things where you don't have that. Most of the other Rishonim disagree with that distinction, though. They say there wouldn't be a difference between land and anything else. But still, we can say we know that he's being mafkir it in order to avoid the issue of Chilul Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai, and therefore we're going to allow him to do that using the daraisa method of hefker without requiring him to gather together three people, as we would say would be necessary derabanan. We talked about in that connection yesterday, also in a matter of Hilchos Shabbos, where this one even Beis Hillel agrees to, you can't have your animal do work on Shabbos. So if you rented out your animal to a goy before Shabbos, then you might be mafkir it in order that this way your animal is not doing work on Shabbos. Same thing. So even though in principle you should need three people but since we're saying that that's only required derabanan, then the chachamim are going to relax that rule in this case and not require you to do that. Another interesting example of it comes in, and Tosfos also discusses it over there in Bava Metzia, the Gemara in Eila Metzias. It tells a story over there where there was a guy carrying a heavy load of wood, and Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi sees him. He himself, it's zokin ve'ena l'fi kvoida, it's not
cover dick for him to, so the guy needed help readjusting the load. It wouldn't have been Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi's, it wouldn't have been cover dick for him to go do it himself. He was a Zokin, he was an elder Talmud Chacham. There wasn't anybody else available. So Rabbi Shmuel actually bought the wood from him and then declared it hefker this way. The guy doesn't have to schlep it. This way he got the money he needs, the pastures, I guess we're not talking about he needed the wood to heat his own house or something. We're talking about he was going to carry the wood to sell. Well, good. Then he sold the wood and then Rabbi Shmuel declared it hefker. So this way nobody is required to put it back on the guy. So how is he declaring a hefker if there's nobody there? So again, Tosfos discusses over there. First of all, there may have been other people over there. The Gemara doesn't, the story doesn't say over there how many people there were over there. Conceivably, there could have been other people over there. And Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi is declaring the hefker in front of them as well. But then again, Tosfos says over there that since according to what we're saying in the Gemara over here, it's only derabbanan that you require to make it hefker, that you require three people to make it hefker. So maybe in a case like that, where he's only doing it, he's only declaring it hefker because like this, Rabbi Shmuel himself doesn't want to take the wood. If the whole point is it's not bekavadik for him to help the other guy adjust his load, it's not going to be bekavadik for him to carry it home either. But he doesn't want, if he leaves it in the street over there, somebody's going to take it, and then they're going to be over on the issue of stealing, so therefore he was mafkir it. So then in that case, that might be one of these kinds of cases, one of these shasat chak, where therefore you can get away with being mafkir on a daraisa level with only himself and the other guy present, not having three people present. Now, one point over here that needs to be addressed is, the Ran points out, so let's go back to the beginning of the sugya. We had Rabbi Yochanan telling us, that Rabbi Yossi says that hefker does not go through that limbo stage. And we went and discussed the whole thing was based on the, so that we explained based on that why Rabbi Yossi would say then that the hefker is like a matana, and therefore in the case of our Mishnah, it doesn't work to make it hefker and allow Reuven to eat the food. But then we said we slugged that up because Rava pointed out a case we had on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, a case involving two matanas. We had, according to the Ran, we were talking about where a person has two avodim and gives some of his nechassim to one, and then instead gives all of his nechassim to the second one. According to the Rosh, we said the case was that it's a shchiv merah who's giving out his nechassim first to one person, then to another. In any case, based on that, we said there wouldn't be a difference according to Rabbi Yossi whether what came first, declaring the thing hefker or making the neder that the other guy is also to have anah. First we had thought to say that even Rabbi Yossi would allow it in the case of our Mishnah if he had previously declared the hefker, the food hefker, before he ever made the neder to ask the Reuven to have anah from him. But then based on that story of the two gifts, we said it's not so. So therefore we slugged up Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi, and instead we had Rava's understanding of Rabbi Yossi that says that even Rabbi Yossi would agree that hefker is hefker the same way as we usually understand it, but matnas beis chorin, and therefore he doesn't want to allow it in our Mishnah. Now, so the Ram says, the problem is that now the Gemara has been continuing after that. We still seem to have been using Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi as the basis for the rest of the sugya. From there, from the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis, we still seem to have been using Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi. Because if we use Rava's understanding, and we said that really Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim both agree on how Hefka works, and they're only arguing in this case, do we make Xera because Matnas Beis Chorin, then everything we said, beginning from when we quoted the Braisa at the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and the whole Daf Mem Dalet, and the whole Mem Hei Amud Aleph over here, would have all been according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding. So what's going on over here? Didn't we slug it up? So in fact, the Ran says, as a matter of fact, you're right. We would have to say that this whole sugya that we've been discussing until now is really not a limit to Hilchasa. We would say
that we would accept Rava's understanding that Rav Yossi basically would agree that Hefker works the same way as the Chachamim do. We would say that the Braisa about the 3 days and the temporary Hefker is according to both Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. We don't need to say like Rav Yochanan or like Rish Lakish that there's any machlokas involved. And therefore, it would mean that, in effect, according to the Ran, we would say the halacha lemaisa, we're following Rava's understanding, and therefore there's actually no machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim on the mechanism of hefker at all. The only machlokas is are we concerned about matnas beis chor. However, the Rosh says, I mean, it's a little hard to say that when we're going to say that, and the Gemara has been spending a daf and a half. Okay, the short dafin, but still. The Gemara has been spending a considerable amount of time discussing this, and we're going to say that it's only according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, which was shlugged up. So the Rosh actually brings at some length from Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, one of the Balei HaTosfos, who has a whole different explanation. He goes over the entire last daf and a half and explains that we can make it work according to Rava's Shita. So again, Rava, who was saying that Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim are not really disagreeing on the fundamentals of how Hefker works. They're only arguing in the case of our Mishnah, are we concerned that it seems similar to Matnas Beis Chorin? So now Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz goes over the entire sugya and works it out according to Rabbi. So let's start with, again, we had the Braisa that said that if you make something Hefker, then you have three days to change your mind. And during those 3 days, it would still be chayiv and meiser. After that, it would be potter from meiser. So now that would be now we would say that so that would go according to the Chachamim in our Mishnah. They said that it would go again. It would go according to both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. The Chachamim would say, and Rabbi Yossi would also say, according to Rava, that there's no such thing as that Hefker is not really like a Matana. Hefker is what we think of as Hefker. It is, in fact, out of his Rishus. So we're going to say, therefore, that Chachamim are going to say he declared it Hefker. So therefore, it's going to be Potter from Meiser. Now, the difference is that why is it that here all of a sudden the Chachamim are putting a 3 day waiting period? The reason is the Rosh brings because when it comes to Meiser, not everybody is going to know that he made it Hefker. So people are going to see that he's harvesting his field and then eating the produce without taking Meiser, and they're going to be choshed at him that he's eating Tevel. So therefore, we want 3 day grace period, and after that, it'll be very clear by that point already. It becomes more well known that this field is Hefker. So therefore, everybody's going to know that it's Hefker and it's Potter from Meiser. As opposed to when it comes to Nedarim, there's no reason to make that 3 day waiting period because how many people know anyway that Shimon made a Neder that Reuven is also Tadhanah? Not many people know necessarily. Therefore, there's no reason. Therefore, when they see Reuven eating Shimon's food, they're not going to think that, you know what, Shimon made a neder that Reuven's going to have is also to have anah, and then he declared it hefker, and now Reuven is eating it. They're going to say, whatever made us think there's a problem in the first place. Shimon is allowed to give Reuven food under normal circumstances. So that would be the difference. In the Braisa, where we're talking about being mafter a field and pattering it from Meiser, we would say you have a 3 day grace period. But in the case of the Mishnah, we would say that not. Then continuing understanding the sugya according to Rava. So now we would say that the same way as in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about matnas beis chorin. When we have the continuation of the Braisa about where he made it hefker for a period of time. So then we said it depends whether somebody picks it up or not. Then it's not the 3 day grace period. Then it's as soon as somebody takes it, then they're chayiv in it. But until then, not. So now we say that until somebody actually takes it, because again, we're going to say because matnas beis chorin. So, and the chiddush would be, even though it was only a hefka for a temporary time, even though that's very uncommon, Rabbi Yossi is still going to say matnas beis chorin, and therefore he's going to still say that. That it doesn't necessarily become hefka right away, only when someone takes it. So then we ask then in that case, so the braisa is, so half of it seems to be according to the chachamim and half of it according to the Yossi. So now Ula says, all of it goes according to the Rabbanon. And what it is the difference is hefker for a period of time is not that common. Therefore, people are going to think it was never hefker in the first place. So again, we're back to the problem that if he eats from this field afterward, people are going to think he's eating tepe. So he's chayiv and meiser until somebody else takes it. That was Ula's answer. Then we had Rish Lakish goes through and he says that in that braisa, all of it is according to Rabbi Yossi. The reason why, in the Reisha where he declared it hefker and was saying within the 3 days he's still chayiv and meiser. Why doesn't Rabbi Yossi say that during the first three, that to begin with, he should be chayiv and meiser until somebody takes it? The reason is because we don't want shalat tishtak achteras hefker. You don't want people to think that hefker is chayiv and meiser. So we say that, after 3 days have passed, then already we say it's potter from meiser, but even though midrabanan, we should have said maybe that it should be chayiv and meiser, even after that, until somebody takes it, we don't want people to think that hefker is chayiv and meiser, and by the time 3 days have passed, it becomes well known that it's hefker. According to this explanation, in other words, Rabbi Yossi considers, on the one hand, you have the problem, you don't want people to forget about the concept of hefker. On the other hand, you have the problem of matnas beis chorin. After 3 days, Rabbi Yossi is going to say the problem of people thinking that hefker is chayiv and meiser outweighs the worry about matnas beis chorin. So then the question is, in that case, why are we waiting 3 days? And the answer would be, as Rava had said in the Gemara, on Memdalat Amun Aleph, as Rabba had said, Mipnei Aramoyin, because of cheaters who go and are mafka their fields and then they take them back right away. So that's why, according to him, we would say 3 days. So up until 3 days, Rabbi Yossi would say that we were worried about it being like matnas beis chorin, and therefore we leave it like Dardaisa. And we still declare that it's chayiv and meiser. And after 3 days, then after 3 days, we say that not. Then at that point already, or the fact that during 3 days it's not hefker actually isn't. Sorry, there's the fact that we say it's not that during 3 days it's not hefker is not because of matnas beis chorin, because then really it should be even after the first day. It's rather because we say that midaraisa. Up until now, we understood when Rabba was saying that the Chacham, when Rabba was saying that Mipnei HaRamoyin, we were understanding until now that means Gzeira Drabbonah, that really Midaraisa should be Hefker right away, but Midrabbonah, Mipnei HaRamoyin, we don't want to do that. Now, according to this understanding, the Rosh is saying that no, what the Braisa is saying, according to Rabba's understanding, is that during the first 3 days, it's not Hefker, even Midaraisa. The Torah, to begin with, allows the Chachamim to determine when something should be considered hefker and when it should not. And the Chachamim decided because after all, the whole concept of hefker, we learn from Shemitah, there's no ramos possible. So therefore, the Torah itself is saying where there's possible ramos involved, then therefore we're not going to allow it to be hefker. And it left it up to the Chachamim to determine how long it takes before we're not worried about ramos. And the Chachamim said 3 days. So not we would say that the Chachamim came up with a whole new gzera to say that within 3 days it's not hefker because of Ramoyim, and after that it is. Rather, according to this understanding of the Roshes, we would say that during those first 3 days it's not hefker even on Daraisa level. Therefore, it's still chayiv and meiser because it's still his Daraisa. So now, Midaraisa, it's actually not hefker, it's chayiv and meiser. But then, don't you have the problem about people are going to mix up what's chayiv and what's potter? So then we tell him, as we learned yesterday, that fine, when you take miser from this field, make sure you take from this field itself rather than from a different field on behalf of it. So now we're still working according to Rava's understanding that Rav Yossi never disagreed with the Chachamim on the mechanism of Hefker. He's just disagreeing with them on when are we concerned for Matnas Beis Choren. So now according to the Chachamim, during the first 3 days, we don't want it to be Hefker yet because it's not well known that it's Hefker yet. And according to Rav Yossi, we're saying because of Matnas Beis Choren. So therefore, so by taking Maaser from within the thing itself, then we cover that base. Now, then we continue in the Gemara, again, still following this explanation, that when we have the Braisa about Hamafkir Karmoy, Hamafkir Es Karmoy, where we said that he's Potter from Maaser, so the Chacham would say it means he's Potter Daraisa right away, because according to them, we're never concerned about Matnas Beis Choren. And according to them, we say that it is Hefker right away. We don't have this 3-day waiting period. And according to Rabbi Yossi, why don't we have the 3 days? So we began by giving the answer on Memdalad Amud Beis that you're right, according to Ulo, the Braisa could work according to everybody. And according to the Shlokish, it would work only according to the Chachamim. Wouldn't work according to Rabbi Yossi. And then we finish off on our Omer over here that there's a difference whether you're mafkir it in the presence of two people or three people. When you do it in the presence of three people, there's no problem with Ramos. Nobody's going to go and be mafkir his field in the presence of three people where there's a high likelihood that one of them is going to take it, or not even one of them. There's a high likelihood that anybody is going to take it, because at that point, once you have three people, then you have a pirsum. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi would agree that in that case, it's Hefker. And then we finish off by saying that Rabbi Shrub and Levi says that actually even Daraisa, it would become Hefker right away, according to the Chachamim, because according to them, we're not worried about Matnas Beis Choren. Even according to the Chachamim, you need three people in order to make it work. Dirabanan. So now we've been able to explain the whole sugya without having to resort to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation that Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim disagree about the mechanism of Hefker. No, they're just arguing about when are we concerned about Matnas Beis Choren or not. Where therefore, when there's no concern of Ramos, as for example, you did it in the presence of three people, or we waited 3 days, then even Rabbi Yossi is going to be fine with it. So that way, the advantage of that explanation again is that we can say, even though we slugged up Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi, nevertheless, and we went with Rabbi's explanation, we can still make the rest of the Gemara work according to that. We don't have to say like the Ran that all of that Gemara was based on Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, and if we slug it up, then we slug up that whole piece. No, we may make it work according to Rava as well. Hadron Allah Ba'in Ben Amudah. Continuing the new perek, we're still continuing on the dinim of Mudr Hanam Mechaveroi. So the Mishnah says, Hashutfin Shenodru Hanah Zemizeh. Suppose you have two partners who own a chotzer jointly. Whenever you have two people own a chotzer, the first thing we have to discuss is what is the size of this chotzer? Now, you have in general in halacha, it's discussed, for example, at the beginning of Bava Basra is the main place. It talks about it. I think we touched on it someplace in Ksubas. You can have, for example, anytime you have a chotzer or any object, you can always talk about it. So partners have it. Now, let's say, for example, they want to split it. Let's say one of them says, I want to split it. I don't want to be a partner with you anymore. Well, what is the size of the thing? We need it to be enough of a size that even if you divide it, each part will still be able to function as the original thing that it was supposed to be. So in the case of a chotzer, the rule is, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, what you do is each person is entitled to a strip four amas extending outward from their door. So the width of the door and extending four amas into their chotzer. It's almost like a parking space. This way they can unload packages and unload their animals and whatever over there. And then you do that. You give each person that area. And then the rest of the chotzer, you have to have at least 4x4 amas available for each of them. So if the chotzer is large enough, 7.5. That you could do that, that each person can get their parking space and their 4x4 amas, and then it'll be big enough. Then we say, then the dinim of our Mishnah are not going to apply. The Gemara is going to end up talking about that on Mem Vav Amud Beis. Then the dinim of our Mishnah would not apply, because then we would say, look, we don't have to talk about whether who is allowed to go into the chotzer and who is not allowed to go into the chotzer, where one of them is mudr anah from the other. Just tell them, we split up the chotzer, each of you will take your portion, and that's that. Then there's no problem of either of you having anah anymore. So we're talking about a case where ein boi din chalukah, the chotzer is not big enough to do that. So now the Gemara discusses in Bava Basra, the Gemara discusses the question of good or ogur. In general, forget about the case of Nedarim for a second. When you have Reuben and Shimon own a chotzer jointly, which is too small to divide, can one of them say to the other, you know what, I still don't want to be a shutef with you. I don't want to be a partner with you in this chotzer anymore. Either you buy out my portion or I'll buy out yours. Can we require that to happen? That's what the Gemara discusses over there, whether that's a valid thing to do. But in any case, until they do that, the chotzer belongs jointly to both of them, and neither one of them can force the other one to split it because it's too small to split. So now that's the scenario we're talking about over here. Reuben and Shimon jointly own a chotzer, which is too small to split. But now they've made a neder that they're not allowed to have hanah one from the other. As student, the konis lechotzer. Well, then they're also to go into the chotzer because each one is going to be having hanah from the other one's portion. So we're going to talk about in a second, at some length over here, what the Ran talks about the ins and outs of this. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, says that each one can go into his portion. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says each one can go into his portion. It's not considered having hanah from one from the other. Now, the first thing we have to talk about over here is, now we learned in the previous parak about the concept of vitur. We said sometimes you have a kind of hanah which the average person wouldn't mind. So the average person, for example, wouldn't mind somebody else walking through his chotzer. So now we learned in the previous parak that vitur also b'mudah hanah. That when it comes to a mudr hanah, we said the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer said that we mentioned a number of mishnayos in the previous parak that follow this opinion, that generally speaking, you're not even allowed to go into the other person's chotzer. So we made certain exceptions. We said, for example, for bikur cholim is an exception, but basically we said that vitur is also a mudr hanah. So the Ran understands that this is what we're talking about over here. Because vitur also b'modeh hanah, therefore it would mean that they can't go into the chotzer. Now, on the other hand, the Ran and Tosfos refer to a Gemara in Bava Basra that explains that actually this Mishnah is in fact like Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that we're talking about vitur also b'modeh hanah. On the other hand, the Rosh says that really you could have understood it to mean that we're talking about that maybe people do mind somebody else walking into their chotzer, where they're walking through their chotzer, using it as a shortcut or something without permission. And if we said it that way, then our Mishnah would be even according to the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer. We learned all the way back at the beginning of the previous parak on Lamed Beis, we did learn, in fact, the possibilities that maybe when we talked about over there about drisa sarego, we said walking through somebody's chotzer. So we said that you could understand it to mean a chotzer where people usually don't mind. And we said it would be a point of the Yezer. We brought up the point though that conceivably it could be the kind of thing where maybe a chotzer people would usually mind you walking through, but we said maybe that part of the Mishnah was talking about a valley full of fields where that kind of thing is more of a public area and people don't mind you walking through it. So over here, we're talking about a chotzer. So Tosfos over there and over here says that in fact we would say that people are usually makbid on each other for that. So it wouldn't even necessarily be only a matter of vitur. It would be an actual hanah, which most people would mind. And therefore the Tanakhama of our Mishnah would say that it's also. But again, you have a Gemara in Baba Basra that says otherwise, that actually that says that our Mishnah is specifically, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that it's only a matter of vitur. So the Ran goes on to say that the Gemara, a different Gemara in Baba Kama explains that the underlying machloikas over here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, where again the Chachamim are saying neither of them can go into the Chotzer, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says each one can go into his own part. And what do we mean, by the way, by Zenichas Asek Shaloi, Zenichas Asek Shaloi? That itself, you have a discussion. The Ran, in his whole long discussion over here, mentions the point that it can mean, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is saying, each one can go into the entire Chotzer. The Chotzer belongs to both of them. But what that means, in effect, is that each one of them owns the entire Chotzer. Well, when he's going in, he's going anywhere he goes in the Chotzer, he's going into his Rishus. On the other hand, Tosfos says that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would certainly agree that you can't go into the other half of the Chotzer. What Tosfos says is you would be allowed, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, to walk through the entire Chotzer. You just wouldn't be able to use the entire Chotzer, let's say, to spread out fruit to dry. Wherever he walks in the Chotzer, you could say his portion. So now this brings us to the matter of Breira. So the Gemara explains in Baba Kama that our Mishnah, the Machlokas in our Mishnah, is fundamentally on the question of Breira. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is going to say Yesh Breira. So it comes out when each person goes into the Chotzer, then it comes out retroactively that this was his part all along. And the Chachamim say Ein Breira, and therefore they're going to say that it would be a problem. So now the Ran gets into a long discussion about that. Why would we say that? First of all, even according to the Chachamim, if we say so, one problem is even if we say Ein Breira, why would that make it also to go into the Chotzer? Again, we said it's a small Chotzer. There's no din that you have to divide it. So therefore, neither one can force the other one to divide it. So how can one of them assur it to the other one? In effect, the Chotzer doesn't belong exclusively to either one of them. So how is either one of them able to assur it to the other? So the Ran explains, because you can't really say that each one of them owns the whole Chotzer as a kinyan aguf. It can't be. You can't say that each one owns the entire Chotzer forever. You also can't say, and since the Chachamim say Ein Breira, you can't say whenever Reuven is using the Chotzer, then it means that at that time he was koina the whole thing, kinyan aguf, and vice versa, because the Chacham would say Ein Breira. So rather, what it would mean is that each one has two kinds of kinyanim in the Chotzer. He has a kinyan aguf, he actually owns his portion, and then he has a shibud on the other one's portion. He has like a sort of like an easement, like you have, for example, you can have, I own a property, but I'm required to allow you passage through it. The Gemara talks about these kinds of things a lot in Baba Basra, for example. So here, in effect, what you have is Reuven owns part of the Chotzer. That's it. He has a kinyan aguf. He actually owns that for all purposes. Then he has, on the other part, he has a shibud where the other person is not able to prevent him from walking through. So now the Chachamim say that it's true you have a shibud. On the other hand, here you made a neder, and the Gemara talks about elsewhere. We learned about in Ksubas that a koinam is mafkia midei shibud. When you make a koinam, when you make a neder, then that undoes a shibud. Therefore, he's going to be also. Now Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is going to disagree. He's going to say yesh breira. We're going to say anytime each one of them goes into the chotzer, then we say that we breira tells us that retroactively we consider that as of when he went in there, what he's going into is his area, and therefore the chotzer is completely his for that purpose over here. So he's using it. So he's using it as a kinyan. We can say that he would say that you would say that each time one person uses the entire chotzer, in effect, for that moment, he has kinyan aguf on it. So first of all, the Ran says that's a way of understanding the machloikas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The problem with that is that the Ran says, now we learned back in Beitza a little over a year ago. We had a whole sugya over there about Breira, and we said that we ended up saying that in things d'araisa we do say ein Breira. Only in Drabbanon, where we can be mekel, do we say yesh Breira. We had, for example, a case that it mentions in a number of places in Shas, a person buys wine where he's not sure. But he's not sure if it's been meisered, and before Shabbos, he doesn't have time to take meiser, so he pre-designates that X amount of it is going to be truma and meiser, and then he drinks it and sets aside whatever percentage it is that's needed for the truma and the meisers, and he leaves that for after Shabbos and then separates it out and gives it to whoever it's supposed to go to. And we consider that that Breira tells us that all along the 12% or whatever it is that he leaves over as truma and meiser belongs retroactively. Those drops are the ones that to begin with are the ones he designated as truma and meiser. But that only works in things that are bana, not things that are nicer. Now, here we're going to end up saying in our Gemara, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and based on that Gemara in Bava Kamma, that means that he's holding yesh Breira. On the other hand, we're dealing with matters of nedarim over here. A neder is something also daraisa. So what are you doing over here? So first, there's a few different answers on it. First, the Ran brings from Abin Atam, who says, yes, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, but not because of his reason, but rather for a different reason. He holds that yesh Breira. So we're saying that would be a problem because in things daraisa, we don't say Breira. On the other hand, he's also saying, why in the first place do we even need to resort to Breira? Because Vitur also b'mudr hana. Because again, if we learn that normally people don't mind somebody walking through their chaser, and therefore to object to that would be, so that kind of thing would be Vitur, the kind of thing that people usually grant without a second thought to somebody else. But we learned in the previous parak, Rabbi Eliezer holds Vitur also b'mudr hana. That is what causes the problem here in the first place, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov has to resort to Breira in order to get around that. Well, Rabbi Natam says, you don't need to say that. We can say that actually Vitur is mutur b'mudr hana. We wouldn't hold like Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, there's no problem in the first place. So yes, practically speaking, each of them can use the chotzer, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, but not because of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's reason, but rather because of a different reason, which he wouldn't hold by. And in fact, therefore, he says, according to that svara, it wouldn't matter whether the chotzer is small or whether it's large. Only if they actually made a specific neder that they're not even going to walk through, then you would have a problem. However, then the Ran goes on to say that the Ri disagrees with that. The fact is, we had in the previous perek, we had a bunch of stam mishnas that followed Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. We said at the beginning of the previous perek, on the Beis and the Beis, that the first mishnah of the perek went according to Rabbi Eliezer that said Vitur also b'mudr hana. We had several other mishnayos in the perek that also were based on that premise. We said, for example, because of that, we had issues with Hashavas Aveda, where Hashavas Aveda itself is mutter, but you can't forego a schar for it. We had different other dinim throughout the perek that were predicated on this idea of vitu also b'mudr hana. All of a sudden, we're going to say because over here we want to paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, then all of a sudden we're going to say that we're not going to follow any of those stam mishnayos. So therefore, the Ri gives a different answer, which is that the Ri says that no. In fact, what we're going to say is that the halacha would be that you could do Breira even in things d'araisa. And he goes on to discuss ins and outs of that, possible proofs from other places in Shas that we could say that d'araisa yesh Breira. So that would be another reason why to say that. But what about according to the understanding of Rishonim that says that the Daraisa, we don't say that. We say Daraisa is ain Breira. So now you have yet another point. He brings from the Ramban, who says, we're using the word Breira over here in a different sense. Here, meaning the Gemara in Bava Kamma that quotes our Mishnah, is actually using Breira in a different sense than it does throughout Shas. Usually, Breira means that we have something, we're not sure, we declared it has a certain, we declared it to have a certain status, and we're saying, does that status take effect retroactively? Can we say that retroactively all along this particular, that all along this particular drop of wine is the one that was, is the one that was designated to begin with as Truma and Maisa? So the Ramban is gonna. So the Ramban is gonna say that that here we're actually using the word breira in a somewhat different sense than we are throughout Shas. So usually breira again would be, we weren't sure until now, is this drop of wine part of the truma? Is it not? Here we're saying to begin with, when they made the partnership to begin with, the understanding was that each one is using, that each one, when he uses the chatzar, he's using it, it fully belongs to him. So neither one can answer the other one. Even though we're using the word breira, it's a different kind of breira in the rest of Shas, then, so therefore we can say, yes, we would usually say in things d'oraisa, we don't say breira, but over here, we're talking about a different kind of breira. The Ran himself doesn't really like that. It doesn't really like that explanation either. And he goes on to say that what it is here, the Breira that we're dealing with is, we don't know what time, when is each one going to use it? So then we could say Breira. The regular kind of case of Breira is not a matter of, it's not a matter of times. It's a matter of that, either this thing is Truma or it's not, for example. Here we're saying that we don't know when is Reuven planning to use it, when is Shimon planning to use it. So now each one, as he uses it, is going to have a kinyan aguf on it. And that's why. So if there's din chalukah in it, then you say why should we have to resort to that? Just split it and have done with it. But if there's no din chalukah, then what we're saying is that each one, when he's using it, it belongs at that point exclusively to him. And then when the other one uses it, belongs exclusively to him, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And again, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. An interesting nafkamina that comes up, a couple of interesting nafkaminas that come from this is that, for example, the tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eger discussing if you have a Jew and a goy who are roommates, do they have to put up a mezuzah on it? So now, according to the Ramban, we would say that the goy is always considered a partial owner of this room, therefore would be potter from mezuzah. Only in the case of a neder, to begin with, the tnai was that neither one has the ability to aser the use of the chotzer to the other, and therefore the Ramban is saying that therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, each one can use the chotzer. But according to the Ran's Shitta, we would say there are times when it belongs exclusively to the Jew and times when it exclusively belongs to the Goy. And therefore, maybe it would be, and therefore, the Rabbi Akiva Eger says, maybe in that case, it would be Chayiv and Mezuzah. Another interesting point is, if we follow the Ran's Shitta, we know that when you have a lulav and esrog on Sukkos, you have to own it yourself. On the first day, Sukkos has to be the first 2 days outside of Israel, has to be lochem. Would that apply? What if two people buy a lulav and esrog in partnership? So in fact, the Ramah brings, based on the Ran, that it would be fine, because it means that each one of them, when he picks it up and uses it for the mitzvah, is in fact the exclusive owner of it. So you don't need each one to be makne the part to the other one, just like we say that each one doesn't need to be makne his part of the chotzer to the other one. However, the Mishnah continues, now, even though it is true, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that each of them is allowed to walk around in the chotzer, maybe in the whole chotzer, maybe only in part of it, but neither one is allowed to put up millstones or an oven, which are things that are put there on an ongoing basis. And the Ran adds, even though the Gemara tells us, the Ran and the Rosh add, that even though the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, usually that's the kind of thing where the Ran learns that it means that people don't usually mind that kind of thing. But here, since they obviously mind, they made a neder not to have hana from each other, then therefore it would be also again, because vitur also b'mod hana. The Rosh actually says that based on that Gemara over there, he learns that it would actually mean that usually partners can prevent one from another, from putting up millstones or an oven or whatever over there in the chotzer. Therefore, in our case over here, It's not even a matter of vitter, and it's not even a matter of breira, because each one has the ability to say that you can't put it over here. And so it would be a matter of vitter, rather. It would be a matter of, usually it's more than vitter. It's something significant where a person usually would be makbid on, and he was saying that we're not, that he's not makbid on it. That would be giving him a hanah that he can't do. Okay, we'll continue the Mishnah and start the Gemara on it on Motzei Shabbos, Bez Hashem.